When Goldman Sachs executive Greg Smith handed in his resignation yesterday morning, he didn't just drop it off at his boss's office. He wrote an op-ed in the New York Times, and he made it sting. Smith had some choice words for his former employers. In the opening paragraph, he writes, "I believe I've worked here long enough to understand the trajectory of its culture, its people, and its identity. And I can honestly say that the environment now is as toxic and destructive as I've ever seen it." He's talking about Goldman Sachs, of course. Later, he writes, "I attend derivative sales meetings where not one single minute is spent asking questions about how we can help clients. It's purely about how we can make the most possible money off of them." Joining us now in studio, Louise Story, investigative reporter for the New York Times. And, of course, Louise has spent years reporting on Goldman Sachs. So, first of all, did anything that Greg Smith in here surprise you?
No, I have been hearing sentiments like this from Goldman clients since, 08, 09. Now, let me say, not every Goldman client feels this way. There are plenty who say, "I've always had great experiences with Goldman." Remember, Goldman is a firm with thousands and thousands of people, and so you can't generalize. There's a lot of great business people there. However, there are a lot of clients who have been upset. For instance, I've written about a hospital in Pittsburgh where they were invested in a certain type of security, and Goldman told them to be invested in that type of security. That market dried up. Goldman just wiped its hands and wouldn't help the hospital. And I've written about, for instance, with Washington Mutual, there's a famous quote that came out that the CEO there, Kerry Killinger, they had been doing business with Goldman, but he said in an email, "Don't trust Goldie. It's like swimming with the sharks."
Oh, boy. But
so this sentiment has been out there. And so there was nothing particularly new in the letter. But what really surprised people was that an employee there felt so emboldened that he went public, because it's really been whispered more among employees and former employees. You hadn't had particularly such, kind of a lower level employee. Everyone's calling him a Goldman executive, but, he was not a Goldman executive. He was a mid-level kind of manager. It's not like, the president of Goldman resigning.
Well, it is relatively rare for people on Wall Street in any company to be so public in talking about their former employees, and you have to assume it's because they're afraid they won't ever get employed again, right? I mean, is this ruin Greg Smith's future career for the rest of his life?
Well, I mean, you do have to wonder, even if a company out there really doesn't like Goldman, you have to wonder if they'll hire him, because they might fear that he's, a loose cannon and he'll do the same thing to them. One person I do want to note who has been public about a criticism of Goldman is its former chairman. So John Whitehead, was the chairman of Goldman for many years. He was kind of the old school banker there, clients first, and that kind of sentiment back when they weren't so into trading, when they did mostly advisory business. And he came out at the very beginning of the financial crisis, and he said the pay packages at Goldman were outrageous, that they were shocking. And he said Goldman needed to take a leadership position for Wall Street and cut down the pay. And so that was really surprising to people to see such a Goldman insider. And he had been a very top executive.
Obviously. We're speaking with Louise Story, investigative reporter for the New York Times. I have to get used to saying your new title there, Louise. And we're talking about Greg Smith's resignation from Goldman Sachs yesterday. Goldman, very publicly also lost almost $2.2 billion in market value yesterday. But I wonder in the long term if this kind of attack really hurts Goldman Sachs.
Well, you remember when the SEC brought the case out against Goldman in 2010, also in one day, they lost billions of dollars of market value. And, they got it back. And so their stock, they may recover some of this lost value. What you worry about is the erosion of their reputation with clients. In a lot of divisions of Goldman, you can't see whether they've lost money or not, because the industry has lost a lot of players from the financial crisis. You no longer, have Bear Stearns or Lehman. So in some sense, Goldman picked up business because it had fewer competitors. But you don't know if they would have picked up more. The one area at Goldman that you have been able in the last few years to see real erosion in clients is their asset management unit. And that's where they manage money for institutions and for wealthy people. And they've had a lot of outflows. And, part of the reason they've had that is because that's the area where people care more about, how are you treating me as a client? In their trading division, the hedge funds they trade against, a lot of them don't really care if they're having their hands held. Yeah. But in asset management, there is more of an expectation of putting the client first.
And trust. Well, let me play you this comment. This is Michelle Clayman, who's the founder and managing partner at New Amsterdam Partners, LLC, which is a money management firm here in New York.
I think this article will probably add fuel to the fire on why Dodd-Frank should be implemented the way it was envisioned.
She says it'll add fuel to the fire. And I wonder if you think this is true, that there will at some point become sort of such a voice, a cry out for maybe charges to be brought against people or more regulations, that we actually will see that happen, or this is just expected to die out?
Well, you know, we've seen, you know, a pretty big outcry in the last couple of years.
It's an election year.
It is an election year, but there has been a lot of outcry about, you know, questions. Why have there been really no prosecutions of top financial players? There have been no criminal prosecutions of people who ran Wall Street banks from the financial crisis. And, you know, the president responded in January. He has a new task force that he's put together to try to look at that. So, you know, we'll see what comes of it, of anything. I think the real question is, you know, will we see a change in leadership at Goldman Sachs? People have been calling that for a while. An interesting twist here is that Goldman just has a brand new PR person, head of communications, just started his job a few weeks ago.
And welcome.
Welcome. But you know who he is.
Just handle this.
His name is Jake Seward. And his prior job was he was handling communications for Tim Geithner at the U.S. Treasury Department.
Obviously,
Tim Geithner's had plenty of people criticizing things he's done. And so it'll be interesting to see how this guy works on this.
Okay. So, Louise, is this, in the end, is this furor over Greg Smith's resignation, is this about Goldman Sachs? Or does this go broader and really talk about a feeling on Wall Street in general?
Well, there is a feeling on Wall Street, and it's not new. It's not started with this letter yesterday. But it's an under conversation from the entire financial crisis, which is, what have we become? You know, Wall Street used to be mostly an advisory business, mostly a business where you were really just providing a utility for clients, helping them issue some debt or helping them do an M&A transaction. But starting around the late 90s, Wall Street firms became more and more and more about making profits off of trading. And this has just been a dialogue on Wall Street ever since. And so I think this will just be another little chapter in that debate, which will keep on going.
Well, I guess what's new here is not so much what's being said, is that it's being said as an op-ed in the New York Times, right? So publicly. Louise Story is an investigative reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks so much, Louise.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.